मातुः सपत्न्याः सदुरुक्तिविद्धः स्वशन्द्रुषा दण्डहतो यथा हि हित्वामिशन्तं पितरं सन्नवाचम् जगाम मातुः प्ररुदन् सकाशम्। सो दीज वर्सेस आर डिस्क्राइबिंग द रिएक्शन ऑफ ध्रुव महाराज। वी हैव सीन हाउ सुरुचि इंसल्टेड ध्रुव एंड नाउ मैत्रेय मुनि इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द रिएक्शन ऑफ ध्रुव। 14th वर्स। मातुः सपत्न्याः स दुरुक्ति विद्धः। माता सपत्नी, द को वाइफ ऑफ हिज मदर। नाउ ही इज अंडरस्टैंडिंग, शी इज नॉट माई मदर, शी इज माई मदर्स को वाइफ। Definitely there is something going on between them. There is some incompatibility issue or whatever, because of which I have to receive this harshness. You could detect slightly, which is childish innocence. So matuh sapatnya sa durukti vidhah. So durukti, she spoke very harsh words. So Dhruva Maharaj, svasan rusha danda hato yathahi. Just like danda hato yatha ahi. Ahi means a snake. When you take a danda and then hit that snake, snake is generally very envious and very angry. On top of it, you just start beating the snake, then snake becomes even more agitated. So Dhruva Maharaj's agitation and anger is compared to such agitated snake. Right? Dhruva breathed heavily. Hitva mishantam pitaram sannavacham. On top of it, his father did not speak a single word. While Suruchi is chastising Dhruva, insulting Dhruva, speaking such harsh words, as a father he should have controlled her, at least consoled him. He did not control Suruchi, he did not console Dhruva. He was silent like a deity. He did not speak a single word. So, because he was indifferent to the whole scene, like a statue witnessing and doing nothing, so that hurt Dhruva even more. Somebody may misbehave with us, somebody may be indifferent towards us, insincere towards us, but if there are some people who are showing some sensitivity in that context, we may be a little pacified. But there is no one in the whole palace there. Suruchi was there, Sultanpada, Dhruva, three people, and many servant maids and other soldiers and other people may be there. So no one came to Dhruva's rescue. In front of so many people, this small 5-year-old boy was not given any shelter. When he was desiring something, his desire was not fulfilled. On top of it, he was chastised heavily and no one came to console him. For such a small tender heart of this 5-year-old boy, this is a really heavy experience to take, right? He could not handle it. On top of it, he happens to be a Kshatriya boy. That's another thing that will come later. So, Mishantam means watching. He is just taking darshan of the whole scene. Uttanapada, he is not doing anything, right? So, Dhruva was a Kshatriya, was hurt. And he was hurt with the silence of Uttanapada. So, silence means, silence sometimes means approving, sometimes means disapproving also. You are silent. He will not do. So here, sometimes silence could also mean approving, right? Disapproving and approving. In this case, by being silent, Uttanapada indirectly approved the behavior of Suruchi, approved the words of Suruchi, and completely discouraged and disappointed. And destroyed the feelings of Dhruva Maharaj completely. And this hurt was done in public in front of so many maid servants and other people. So, and Dhruva Maharaj couldn't accept it. Okay. So, Uttanapada had affection for Dhruva, because Uttanapada's affection for Dhruva can be very vividly seen when Dhruva Maharaj goes to the forest. After a few verses in this chapter, we can see he's not, it's not that he doesn't love Dhruva, he hates Dhruva, not like that. But because of his favoritism towards Suruchi, he became indifferent circumstantially, right? So, one important point here to note is, once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says, all our sadhana, our devotional practices, japa, swadhyaya, all these things should at one day bring us to a stage where we act appropriately at the spur of the moment. At the spur of the moment, we will have the necessary bandwidth and maturity and intelligence and discrimination to act appropriately. What is the ideal response in this situation? One, a mature devotee generally gives that ideal response. Someone who is not so mature, he may not give ideal response. He may not give the best response. He may give a reasonably good response. Some people who are not mature at all, they will really give very poor response. Right? They will react in a very horrible manner. Right? So it's like that. Depending on one's maturity, one can expect certain response from that person. So now Uttanapada at this stage, he could not respond to this situation properly. He could not act appropriately at the spur of this moment. At this moment, he could not prioritize the feelings of Dhruva, but he gave unnecessary importance to the feelings of Suruchi only. Not feelings, the arrogance of Suruchi. Right? He just chose to remain silent, and that was very heavy. If only he had consoled Dhruva Maharaj, probably Dhruva Maharaj would not have gone only. Right? I mean, we cannot impose this, why he could have done it. We cannot impose this on the character of Uttanapada, but circumstantially he could not do it. So one should not take decisions when one is angry, and one should not give promises when one is happy. We hear this, right? So one is too happy, excited. I promised him like that, I won't be able to fulfill that promise. So one need to understand when to do what. So here he could not act appropriately. That doesn't mean we minimize the position of Uttanapada. His glories we will see little later. 15th verse. Tam Vishvasantam Spurita Dharoshtam Suniti Rutsanga Uduhya Balam Nishamya Tattora Bukhan Nitantam Savihyate Yadgaditam Sapatnyam.
When Dhruva Maharaj reached his mother, his lips were trembling in anger and he was crying very grievously. Queen Suniti immediately lifted her son onto her lap, while the palace residents who had heard all the harsh words of the Suruchi related everything in detail. Thus Suniti also became greatly aggrieved.
Here Dhruva Maharaj, with this kind of disposition, he went to his mother. And mother is the only shelter. So nobody is in the palace was empathetic towards Dhruva Maharaj's feelings, including his father and stepmother and stepbrother. And what will the other soldiers and servant maids do? So tam nishvasantam spurita adharoshtam. Nishvasantam means very heavily breathing. Spurita adhara oshtam. The upper adhara is lower lip, and oshtam is upper lip, or the other way around. So both his lips were trembling, quivering. Spurita adhara oshtam. Suniti utsanga uduhya balam. So Suniti saw her little Dhruva in this kind of situation, predicament. So she immediately picked up her son and put him on her lap and started patting him. Nishamya tat paura mukhad nitantam. And Dhruva is too agitated, he is not in a position to say anything, report anything. But Suniti already received the report. So as she is trying to console this Dhruva, other servant maids and other palace residents narrated what all has happened in Suruchi's place, Suruchi's room, right? So Nishamya, Uduhiya Balam, she picked up Dhruva and then kept him on her lap. And Nishamya Tat Pauramukhad, Pauramukhad means other people, through their mouths she started speaking and she started hearing. So Sa Vivyate Gaditam Sapatnyaha, she also became aggrieved. So far, Suniti was experiencing a lot of indifference and neglect and ignore from her husband and from her co-wife also, so far. Although she is supposed to be the queen, maybe elderly queen, still she was treated like a maid servant in the palace of Uttanabad. Now you see another episode. Chitraketu's episode, you know. Chitraketu had 1 crore wives, and one wife, Kritadyuti, gave birth to this boy, Harshasok. And remaining 99,99,999 wives, they all became envious of Suruchi, envious of Kritadyuti, because of the neglect received from the king, Chitraketu. So, when someone receives so much of neglect and ignore and indifference, especially when a wife receives such kind of treatment from her husband, she cannot handle it. And when another woman, her co-wife, when they are receiving so much of attention from the husband, they will definitely become very envious and really wild. So what did these people do? These 1 crore minus one wives of Chitraketu, they poisoned the small child, infant baby. Right? But see the difference between the mentality of all these wives of Chitraketu compared to Suniti. Suniti is also receiving neglect from her husband. Although she gave birth to a glorious child like Dhruva Maharaj. Other wives, they received neglect from her husband, their husbands, Chitraketu's wives, because they did not give any children. But here, she gave a child. Such a glorious child like Dhruva Maharaj, well-behaved child, disciplined child. But still she is receiving neglect. Right? What could be more excruciating, painful for a woman than receiving such neglect from her husband? It's quite too much for her to handle. Gaditam sapatnyaha, whatever sapatni Suruchi spoke, she was remembering and then she was really aggrieved. 16th verse. Sosrujya dhairyam vilala pashoka Dvavagnina davalateva bala Vakyam sapatnya smarati saroja Shriyadrisha bashpakalamu vaha Sotsrujya dhairyam vilalapa shoka. Sa utsrujya dhairyam, her patience is lost. So far, although she has been receiving neglect from king and other co-wife, she was able to tolerate. She was somehow maintaining herself and surviving and tolerating and be very patient. And now when her son is insulted like this, publicly, she could not handle it. Right? Because all her affection and attention was meant for only Dhruva. Although she wanted to give attention to co-wife or husband, they are not willing to take and they were not willing to give also. Right? She was a neglected queen in such a huge palace. Because when a wife doesn't receive attention from her husband, love and affection from her husband, although she is kept in such great palaces and so many royal comforts are given, they don't satisfy her. Right? On the other hand, we see Devahuti, she gave up all kinds of comforts and opulence and came and she was serving as a menial servant, like a maid servant in Kardama Muni's humble hermitage. But because Kardama Muni was affectionate towards Devahuti, she did not miss any opulences and facilities. She was happy. But although this Suniti is in the midst of so much of opulence, still she did not receive any attention from her husband, so she is very morose. Those comforts cannot give any happiness. Sita Devi wanted to go along with Lord Ramachandra, although she is not obliged to go. Because she says, this palace comforts and all these things, they don't give me any happiness. Husband's attention, husband's love and affection is the source of a chaste wife's happiness. Right? So she was experiencing neglect all her life, but she could not tolerate now because her son was insulted. Right? The object of her affection, the only object of her affection, was insulted. Right? But we see, pain is inevitable, but the consciousness with which Suniti accepts this pain is really exemplary. Now we will see. Sa utsrujya dhairyam, she has given up her patience. She could not contain it. Vilalapa, she broke into tears. She started shedding tears. Shoka davagnina, davagni means forest fire. Shoka davagni means the forest fire of her lamentation and tears. Davagnina davalateva bala. This bala, bala means this woman. The bala word can be used for a child also, a woman also. So this tender, delicate, soft-hearted, devoted woman, Suniti, so she was burning like a lata. Lata is creeper. A very tender creeper taking support of a huge tree. Right? How does that creeper burn in a forest fire? When a forest fire is just devouring the entire forest, all the big and small trees and plants, what is the condition of a delicate creeper? She is like that. Shoka davagnina davalateva bala. So she is immersed in that lamentation and she is burning like a creeper. Vakyam sapatnyaha smarati. Smarati means remembering the vakyam, the words of sapatni, co-wife, Suruchi. Saroja shriya drisha bashpa kalam uvaha. Saroja shriya, her beautiful tender lotus-like face. Right, Saroja Shriya Drisha. So that is devoid of that charm anymore. Her lotus-like face became very withered, and Bashpa Kalam, she started weeping, she started shedding tears from her eyes. Uvaha, and she spoke. Right? When a man is aggrieved, he feels exactly like a burnt leaf in the forest fire. Suniti's position is like that. Although her face was as beautiful as a lotus flower, it dried up because of the fire caused by the harsh words of her co-wife. Right? So, now see, her condition is described so graphically. She is like a leaf or a creeper, tender creeper in forest fire. So, the comparison was also like that. You just take one mastic and take it near a tender leaf or creeper. It will really melt. So, what to speak of forest fire? So, he gave very graphic description of her lamentation. How intense and how deep was her lamentation is described here. But interestingly, see what she has to say in the 17th verse. 15th and 16th verses are describing her deep distress. And 17th verse is describing her deep maturity, tolerance, right? Dirgham shasanti vrijinasya param apashyati balakamaha bala mamangalam tata pareshu mamstha Bhumtejano yat paradukha dastat. Dirgham swashanti vridinasya bala. Dirgham swashanti means she is heavily breathing. So, Sukadeva, Dhruva Maharaj's breathing is compared to hissing of a snake. But here she is heavily breathing. Vridinasya param apashyati. Half of this verse also describes her distress. Vrijinasya param. Vrijinasya is the distress here, the danger here. Param means transcending this danger, crossing over this danger. So, Vrijinasya param apashyati. She is only breathing heavily and she does not have a clue how to cross over this problem. Because when the son came with a problem, as a mother, she is supposed to recommend a solution. But she herself doesn't know the solution. She doesn't know how to cross over this distress of neglect of king and neglect of court. She cannot go and do a dharna or just do some satyagraha in front of both of them. Because some people who are very sober and gentle and patient, they don't like to protest. Patience is their wealth. Protest, they generally don't prefer. So to be patient and not to protest requires a lot of inner fulfillment and inner maturity and dependence on Krishna. She exhibits that dependence. So param vrijanasya param apashyati, then balakam aha bala. Bala is this lady Suniti, balakam is Dhruva. She started speaking to Dhruva Maharaj, right? So what did she speak? Mamangalam tata pareshu mamstaha. The first words that came out of her mouth in this kind of distressful situation is, my dear son, don't contemplate on anything harmful to other people. She is giving the teachings of non-enviousness, no hatred, no anger. Don't desire anything inauspicious for someone who has inflicted a pain on you. What happened to you was inauspicious. But don't desire same inauspicious to other people. So it requires a lot of maturity and dependence on Krishna's desire to make this kind of statement. Whenever we experience hurt, whenever we experience ignore and neglect and inappropriate handling, when someone mishandles us, one will become overly self-conscious. One will become too much concerned about one's own self, and in that context to think about other people selflessly generally doesn't happen in conditioned souls' minds. She immediately says, don't desire anything inauspicious for anyone. It's too much, right? That requires a lot of maturity. So, mamangalam tata pareshu mamsta bhunte janoyat paradukha dastat. What is the next line she said? Bhunte janoyat paradukha dastat. People experience happiness or distress. People receive certain results only because of their own previous deeds. If I do something good, I'll get something good later. If I do something bad, I will receive similar negative results through some people. Don't blame the instrument of your own past deeds. Because of your own deeds, you are entitled to experience certain good or bad experience. And that may come through some postman. Don't blame them. Just because a postman will give you a money order, you cannot garland him. Just a postman will give you death news, you cannot slap him. Because he's a postman. So to be able to see other people who are giving us, especially negative experience as postman, requires a lot of maturity. He is the cause of my suffering. She is the cause of my suffering. So this is the general feeling of people in general, right? But not blaming others for one's own predicament requires a lot of maturity. When Parikshit Maharaj went and asked Dharma, Bill, who is the cause of your suffering? Who is the perpetrator? I will immediately kill that fellow. You just tell me. What did Dharma say? I can't figure out. Anirdesham, apratarkyad anirdeshyad. It's beyond logic or beyond argument to tell you that this person is the cause of my suffering. Some people say that one's own karma is the cause of suffering. Some people say that one's swabhava is the cause of suffering. Some people say daiva is the cause of suffering, supernatural powers. Some people say something else. So we are confused about the opinions of different philosophers. But ultimately, Dharma's disposition is Krishna is the cause of all causes. To be able to see God's hand behind the happenings of one's life requires a lot of maturity. And Mother Suniti is actually displaying that disposition, displaying that maturity in her life.
Blame your own karma. Don't blame Suruchi. And she's not saying like this. Generally, when this kind of philosophical statement is made by a person who is inflicted with suffering, he could sarcastically comment on the person who caused that suffering. Suniti is not saying that. Don't. She said, what did she say? One's own past deeds are the cause of one's suffering. Right? If you inflict pain on others, you will have to experience the similar pain. She applied it to Dhruva, not Suruchi. Suruchi caused this to you, she will have to suffer in future. Don't worry. That is not her point. Her point is, Dhruva, you must have done something inauspicious to someone. You are just experiencing it. Don't desire anything harmful to Suruchi. Right? To become kind to someone who inflicted so much pain upon you is not easy. Right? So she displayed so much of maturity. So Ushna Chakravarti Thakur says, do not find fault in your stepmother. You have experienced the results of your own sins you have committed in your previous births. Like that. So she was thoroughly helpless. She could not think of any means of negotiating with Uttanapada or Suruchi, or she is not in a mood or capability to fight for justice. Sometimes if we seek justice, we may lose shelter also. Right? But she is not in a mood to fight for justice. And she chose to take shelter of Krishna. Right? So although she is thoroughly helpless, she is giving good counseling to Dhruva Maharaj. One may not have any means to come out of one's predicament. But if one has devotion to Krishna, if one has that good intelligence and wisdom and maturity within, he can handle any kind of problem. Right? So what is lacking is not certain material resource or material solution for the problem. What is lacking in a human being's heart is maturity and dependence on Krishna. You may not actually get a solution, but if one depends on Krishna, if one is able to see Krishna's hand in all happenings of one's life and acknowledge Him and be grateful to Him for whatever experience that we receive. I deserve worse, but Krishna, You are merciful, You gave me only this much. That's brilliant. That's what Bhagavatam is meant for. Bhagavatam is meant to prepare our consciousness like that. Right in the second verse of Bhagavatam, it says, Dharma Projita Taita Otra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shavadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Tapatraya Unmolanam, the threefold miseries of material existence do not exist for a devotee who takes shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that they don't exist, but they don't experience their effect. Because when the misery is perceived as mercy of Krishna, where is the question of suffering? It is Krishna's mercy. Krishna mercifully is making me undergo this kind of experience. I am grateful to Him. I deserve worse. But Krishna is so kind, He is giving me only a token punishment. Right? I deserve to break my hand, He is breaking only my finger. So He is so great. Like that. That's what a devotee thinks. Not out of sentimentalism, but out of pure logic. Krishna is handy everywhere. Right? So, when one is completely devastated, it is difficult to see good in others. It is difficult to blame others. It is difficult not to blame others. But Suniti was not blaming Suruchi. And on top of it, Suniti accepts the words of Suruchi as truth. What your stepmother told you, my dear Dhruva, is truth also. Right? Now we understand from this episode that whoever you may be, in this material world, one needs to experience some difficulties. This world is made like that. Who is Suniti? She is the daughter-in-law of Swayambhu Manu, the original, the progenitor of mankind. The daughter-in-law of Swayambhu Manu is neglected by husband, neglected by stepwife, treated literally like a maid servant in her own palace. And her son is mistreated, abused. So if she cannot avoid danger, how can we expect a very peaceful life? Right? If the daughter-in-law Swayambhumanu has this kind of scene in her life, so what about us?
Davatnina dava lateva bala. If the daughter-in-law of Swayambhumanu is burning like a creeper, tender creeper in forest fire, what is our suffering in comparison to her suffering?
Right?
So hence, one should change one's consciousness. You cannot change the quality of this material world. We cannot change the default settings of this material world. There are default settings, right? In the phones, these smartphones, touch phones, there are some apps that come by default. You cannot delete them. You can install new apps, you can uninstall them. But the default phones you cannot remove.
Correct, right?
At least my limited knowledge of smartphones is that. So you try to do, hey, this is nonsense app, I don't want this. You can't delete only. You have to tolerate it. You make a waste folder and put it inside that. Right? That's what I do. So you don't have any use for that app, but you can't delete it also. So the default setting of this material world is to give you suffering. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. You can't change the default settings. Change the settings of your consciousness. Like that. That's what she's doing. And she's not envious towards her stepwife, her co-wife. Right? So Nirmatsara, she's not at all envious. So such a person can become the object of Krishna's favor. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Bhagavatam is understandable by people who are non-envious. Right? So we can see, we compared the characters of Suniti and the wives of Chitraketu. Now let's compare Uttanapada and Suruchi. Uttanapada and Suniti. Uttanapada could not act appropriately at the spur of the moment. We have seen it. Is it not? He could not console Dhruva. He could not encourage Dhruva. He could not control Suruchi. He just was silent. So he could not act appropriately at the spur of the moment. But Suniti, although she is on the receiving end of so much of pain, she acted appropriately at the spur of the moment. Immediately she tried to remove any kind of negative thoughts or feelings that might enter into the tender mind of Dhruva. Dhruvaras came hissing like a snake. She immediately wanted to remove that negativity. Don't harm, don't desire anything inauspicious for anyone. You are experiencing the results of your own past deeds. Simple. That's her first statement. She acted appropriately. The more mature you are, the more maturely you will take decisions in the most unprecedented circumstances. Actually, in this context, being a very tender woman, very tender-hearted woman, experiencing lot of turmoil, she could not have given such an ideal response. But she was so ideal in her response. But Uttanapada had the bandwidth to think. Right? He is not an affected party in any way. Uttanapada, in that context, in the previous scene, he had the bandwidth and he had the necessary wisdom and authority to think. He had the authority on his wife Suruchi to correct her. He had the bandwidth to go and console Dhruva. Still, although he was able to do it, he did not do the right thing. But Suniti, although she did not have the bandwidth, ideally speaking, ordinarily speaking, materially speaking, still she acted appropriately. Right? That shows the level of her maturity and advancement, devotional advancement, independence on Krishna. 18th verse. Satyam surucha vihitam bhavanme yadurbhagaya udare grihitah stanyena vruddhascha vilalajjateyam bharyeti vavodhumidaspatirmam. So here Suniti is saying that, my dear son, satyam surucha abhihitam bhavanmi. Whatever Suruchi has spoken to you was truth only. Satyam.
She said Satyam. Yad durbhagaya udare grihitaha, durbhagaya, you have taken birth from an unfortunate woman. Suniti. Stanyena vriddhaha, vriddhaha means development. Vriddhi means development. You were born from an unfortunate woman's womb and you are brought up from drinking milk from her body. Stanyena vriddhaha, you are nourished by my milk. Because I am unfortunate, someone who is unfortunate, someone who is maintained by such an unfortunate person also will become unfortunate. Right? You are like that. Vilala vilajjate yam bharyeti. Your father, Uttanapada, thinks that it is shame upon me to consider her my wife. Vilalajjate yam bharya iti. Bharya means wife. Bharya iti means to consider Suniti as a wife. Uttanapada becomes ashamed. Right? I am ashamed to call her my wife. Not because of any disqualification in her, but because of his undue attachment towards this Suruchi. Material attachment towards Suruchi. Like that. So because your father thinks that it is shame upon himself to call me as a wife and you are maintained by me and my milk, so what else you expect? What she said is true. Like that. So she is expressing her pain in front of her son. Right? To be held in my womb is itself misfortune for you. Like that. Next. So basically she could not find any remedy for the painful situation. When she does not have a remedy, she is expressing so much wisdom and maturity. Although Uttanapada knows the remedy, he could not act upon it. See the difference between these two characters. 19th verse. Atishta tattata vimat sarastram uktam samatrapi yadavya likam aradhaya dhoksha japada padmam yadichha sedhyasanam uttamoyatha. This is another important verse. Atishta tattata vimarsheha tvam. Very important line. In the previous verse, what did she say? My dear son, what your stepmother said was true. What Suruchi said was true. What she said? She said, she spoke so many things, but Suniti was speaking of the best thing in that. She said, you worship Vishnu. You worship Narayana. That point is true. Right? Atishta tattata. Please follow the instructions given to you by your stepmother. What was the instruction? Worship Vishnu. And in what mode you should follow? Vimatsarahatvam. Without any envy towards your stepmother, follow her instruction. See, this is height of positive attitude. This is the height of non-enviousness. She says, she blamed you, she insulted you, she was so harsh to you, she literally told you to die, and she did not console you also after hurting you. Someone hurts you and doesn't say sorry also, sorry sir, I said something harsh. No, she was so, she was extremely indifferent and harsh towards you, but still you should follow her instructions and you should not envy her. Right? So, atishta, and follow her instructions. Taduktam smarati api yat avyalikam. They were factual. Avyalikam means, avyalikam or nirvyalikam means they are factual, non-duplicitous. Right? So, aradhya, what is the instruction? Aradhya adhokshaja pada padmam. Please worship the lotus feet of adhokshaja, Krishna. Yad ichchase adhyasanam uttamo yatha. If you at all desire to sit in a position like your friend, like your brother Uttama, you should worship the lotus feet of the Lord. She just picked up the good thing in what all she spoke. She ignored her arrogance. Arrogance, ignore. Instruction, accept. Because it's instruction on Narayana. So the mood behind her instruction is nonsense, but the instruction itself is glorious. She just accepted the glorious part. What did Krishna do when Potana came? When Potana came with a poisoned breast to feed Krishna, Krishna accepted. Her attitude is not motherly, but her attire is motherly. She dressed herself as a mother and she acted like a mother, although internally she is like a hidden sword in the sheath. So the sheath is there, inside that you put a sword. So the sharpness and the poison which is smeared upon the sword is not visible. Externally sheath is maybe for velvet cloth or it's very soft, wow. Although Putana is like that, she is a witch inside, but she is a mother outside. Krishna accepted only that little good in her and gave her avata janani gatim. Tadbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam loka vanditaihi angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam yatu dhanyapi sasvarga bhavapa janani gatim krishna bhakta stanakshirah kimugavonu matarah. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam, Krishna's lotus feet are held by his own devotees in their hearts. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam loka vanditaihi, all the great rulers of different planetary systems who are supposed to receive worship from different people, they come and offer worship to this lotus feet of Krishna. Vandhyabhyam loka vanditaihi angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam. If Krishna's lotus feet are very rare to attain by great yogis, devotees, what to speak of a demoness like Putana? But Putana did not get the touch or vision of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna is holding Putana, embracing Putana and not leaving Putana only. She says, leave me child, but Krishna is just tightly holding on to her, not leaving her. Right? Angam yasyah samakramya, Krishna just caught her limbs, caught her body, right, not leaving only. Bhagavan api tastanam yatudhanya api sasvargam, although she is a yatudhani, she is a witch, just professionally trying to kill every single infant with her poison. So yatudhanya api sasvargam, she attained Vaikuntha, she attained Goloka, motherly position. Yatudhanyapi swasvargam avapa janani gatim, motherly destination. Krishna bhukta stanakshiraha kimu gavonu mataraha. What to speak of the fortune of all those motherly gopis and the cows of Vrindavan who managed to give their own loving affection in the form of their milk to Krishna. Right? So Krishna picked up that little good. Similarly, just like Krishna is Saragrahi, Krishna is so desperate to give mercy to devotees. Krishna is so desperate, not just to devotees, desperate to give mercy to even demons also, especially when he is in Vrindavan. So just like Krishna sees something good, even in demons also, Suniti saw something good, even in her arrogant co-wife also. Right. So that is her glory. So Suriji was equivalent to your mother. She says, Samatra Atishta Tat Tata Vimatsarastvam Uktam Samatrapi Yadavyalikam. See the second line, brilliant line. Uktam Samatra. Samatra is your mother. She is also like your mother only. Although she insulted you, don't take that insult seriously. She is your mother. And what does Suriji say? Don't think that I am your mother. Your mother is different. She is like a maid servant. You are a small childish boy. You don't understand the difference between me and your mother. You should die and take birth from my womb. Then I will become your mother. So far Dhruva Maharaj was not distinguishing between these two queens. And here Suniti is saying that, see, look at her also as your mother only. But Suriji's disposition is totally different. I am not your mother, she is your mother. Because you are her child, I have nothing to do with you. Like that. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, in the harsh words spoken as benediction, the harsh words used by Suriji to her stepson were true, because unless one is favored by the Lord, one cannot achieve any success in life. To that extent, they are true. So Suniti, another mother of Dhruva, or the main mother of Dhruva, She agreed with her co-wife's decision. So Surichi is equivalent to your mother. Next 20th verse. Yasyangri padmam paricharya vishwa vibhavanaya tagunabhipatehe ajodhyatishthat khaluparameshtim padam jitatma swasanabhivandyam. Read the translation.
He continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so great that simply by worshipping His lotus feet, your great grandfather, Lord Brahma, acquired the necessary qualifications to create this universe. Although He is unborn and He is the chief of the all living creatures, He is situated in that exalted post because of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom even great yogis worship by controlling the mind and regulating the life air, prana.
Yasyangri padmam paricharya. His lotus feet were worshipped by so many great people. Vishwavibhavanayattha gunabhipatte, your great grandfather Brahmadev. So Vishwavibhavanaya, to create this universe, he worshipped the lotus feet of the Lord. Then only he was able to create. Without worshipping the lotus feet of Vishnu, Brahmaji does not have the ability to create this universe. Next, not only Brahmaji, your grandfather Manu also did like that. That will come in the next verse. Right? So although Brahmaji is the chief of all living entities, Aja, Adhyavatishtat Kalu Parameshtam, Parameshtam, he is in the greatest position in the entire universe. Still, he could not create without the Lord's help. Right? So Mother Suniti basically is confirming the words of Suruchi. To become successful in any attempt, one not only has to undergo severe penances and austerities, but also must depend on the mercy of the Lord. There is Parishrama, there is Kripa. What is that verse, Damodar Leela verse? Drishtva Parishramam Krishna Kripayati Asi Swabandhani Swamatu Svinnagatraya Visrashta Kabarasrajaha Drishtva Parishramam Krishna Kripayasi Swabandhani. Seeing that Mother Yashoda is laboring so hard, Swamatuhu Svinnagatraya Visrashta Kabarasrajaha, all the beautiful Malati flowers that she was wearing on her head were falling off. Right? Her hair was becoming loose. So she is putting so much of endeavor to bind Krishna. Drishtva Parishramam Krishna, seeing that Parishrama endeavor, Krishna became very merciful. Kripaya Asit became very merciful. Svabandhani, he allowed her to bind him. It's as good as he is binding himself. Svabandhani. Right. So even Brahmaji also executes whatever he has to execute only by the mercy of the Lord. So one has to put an endeavor on himself from his side, and he should also get the mercy of the Lord. Then only any success will come. Yasya anuvrutya krutino abhuvima. One will attain success only because of Lord's mercy. Now Dhrumaraj might say, what do you say? Will I enter the womb of that sinful woman by worshipping the Lord? You are reconfirming Suruchi's statements that I have to worship the Lord and I will attain a position like Uttama. Does it mean that I will worship the Lord, die and enter her womb? She is sinful. He is still hissing. Dhrumaraj. Then Suniti says, no, no, no. You can attain a position greater than that of Brahma also if you desire. And she just said in a generic sense that whatever desire you have, that desire may be fulfilled if you worship the Lord. Not necessary that you enter the womb of Suruchi. Right? So, Tatha Manurvo Bhagavan Pitamaho Yameka Matya Purudakshinair Mukhaihi Ishtvabhi Pede Durava Pamanyato Bhaumam Sukham Divya Mathapa Vargyam.
Suniti informed her son, your grandfather Swayambhu Manu executed great sacrifices with distribution of charity and thereby, with unflinching faith and devotion, he worshipped and satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By acting in that way, he achieved the greatest success in material happiness and afterwards achieved liberation, which is impossible to obtain by worshipping the demigods.
So Suniki told her son that Tatha Manurva Bhagavan Pitamaho, your Pitamaha, the grandfather, Manu, also worshipped the Lord. Ya Ekamatya, with one-pointed devotion. Purudakshinair Makhaihi, Purudakshinair means giving charity, Makhaihi means doing sacrifices. So he attained success. Ishtvabhi Pede Duravapa Manyato, he attained what is desirable for him, although it is very difficult for others to obtain it. What is that? Bhaumam Sukham Divyam Athapavargyam. Bhaumam Sukham. There is Sukham, happiness in this world, Divya in the next world, and Athapavargyam, liberation also. Everything he attained by worshipping the Supreme Lord. So, success in one's life is dependent on one's devotion and dedication to the Supreme Lord. So, bhakti is recommended here. Although this boy was only a small child, Dhruma is a small child, still Mother Suniti is recommending bhakti for Dhruva. That's the universal path, that's the best path, and it's the ideal nature of the mother when she directs her son to take shelter of the Lord and recommends bhakti for him. Now let's see how she recommends bhakti.
Tameva vatsa shreya bhritya vatsalam mumukshu bhir mrugya padabja paddhatim ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite manasya vasthapya bhajasva purusham. Tameva vatsa shreya bhritya vatsalam mumukshubhirmrugya padabja paddhatim ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite manasyavasthapya bhajasva purushum. Tameva, tam eva, you also, my dear son. Why you also? In the previous verse, she quoted the example of Manu. In the previous verse, she quoted the example of Brahmaji. So, Brahmaji attained success by worshipping Krishna. Manu attained success by worshipping Krishna. You also worship Krishna. Tameva vatsa, my dear son. Ashraya bhritya vatsalam. Ashraya, take shelter of whom? That Lord who is very affectionate towards his devotees. Bhritya vatsala. Krishna is very affectionate towards his bhritya servants, devotees. Mumukshubhir mrugya padabja paddhatim. Mumukshubhir means those who are desirous of liberation from this material existence. They adopt this paddhati, this system of accepting the shelter of his lotus feet. Padabja paddhatim, pada abja, the lotus feet. Abja is lotus, pada is feet. So mrugya padabja paddhatim, mrugya means they search for the lotus feet of the Lord, and this searching process, searching method is adopted by great mumukshus also. And how do you worship him? Ananya bhave, with one-pointed attention, without any deviation. Ananya bhave, nija dharma bhavite. You may be fixed up in your own thing. As a kshatriya, different dharmas are there, varnashram dharmas are there. You need not change your situation. Be wherever you are, but with one-pointed attention, worship Krishna. Manasi avasthapya, establish the Supreme Lord within your heart. Bhajasva purusham, worship him, perform devotional service unto him. That's her recommendation. So the system of bhakti yoga described by Queen Suniti to her son is the standard way of God realization as approved by Narada Muni in the next section. So everyone can continue in his own constitutional position and occupational duties and worship the Lord. Krishna consciousness. So Bhritya Vatsala means Krishna is so kind to his devotees. Now you see, Suniti says, my dear Dhruva, I am just one mother. I can give you the affection of one mother. But Krishna can give you the affection of millions of mothers.
So you should take shelter of him. She is an honest mother, not a possessive mother who might say that what my child knows only I know. Right? He need not perform Krishna Bhakti. So here she says, Krishna can give you the affection of millions of mothers. Like that. So, Bhakti Yoga is for all, but by the process of Bhakti Yoga, even a child less than 5 years old, or anyone of any age, can be purified. This is the special significance of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, she advised him not to accept worship of any demigods or any other paths. No, don't worry. Only Bhakti Yoga, only Krishna. So, when one is most distressed, his own consciousness can give a total positive outlook to the entire scene, entire incident. So, she is in a very distressful condition, Dhruva is also in a very distressful condition, but the outcome is glorious. Why? Because she takes shelter of Krishna. She recommended devotional service. So, it is that bhakti, it is the dependence on Krishna that purifies any incident, that makes any incident glorious. I have several examples in Bhagavatam who made very tormenting situations glorious because of their own consciousness. So now it's a very distressful condition for Mother Suniti and Dhruva, but she made the best out of it. This is a great reason for celebration, because we got an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna with more eagerness. Kunti also says, Vipada santata sasvatatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yet syad apunar bhava darshanam. Let so many calamities come. No problem. We can take shelter of Krishna. Problems are exciting. We may not pray for problems. We cannot imitate Kunti Maharani, right, immaturely or prematurely. But one can just accept the already coming difficulties with that consciousness. He may not desire more difficulties. At least whatever difficulties are coming on their own, of their own accord, at least in those circumstances we may take some inspiration from these episodes and then attempt to see some positivity by depending on Krishna. For example, Sringi Karsar Parikshit Maharaj. He should die in 7 days. Then Parikshit Maharaj, with his glorious consciousness, he took it positively. He said that this curse is actually a blessing in disguise. It will be the cause of my indifference towards worldly activities. It is glorious. Right? Let me take shelter of Krishna. Vidura was checked out of the palace of Hastinapur. Vidura, for his lifelong service that he has done to the throne of Hastinapur, Duryodhan gave him the remuneration of breath within his nostrils. We will allow you to breathe, means we will not kill you. Take this life, take this pranavayu and get out of Hastinapur. No pension, no nothing else, just get out. So he took that as a positive arrangement that is made by the internal potency of the Lord, and he went to so many holy places, he went on a pilgrimage, and eventually he met Maitreya Muni and heard Krishna Katha, two full cantos of Bhagavatam, and he met Uddhava also. Like that, Avanti Brahman was abandoned by all his family members and friends when he became very poor. He took the opportunity to become a devotee of the Lord. Right? He did not blame anyone, he just blamed his own mind. And he took shelter of Krishna. So, in trying circumstances, one cannot afford to blame other people. One can only take it as a result of one's own past deeds and something that is ordained by the Lord for my purification, and then proceed. Tolerate and proceed. We have two options always. Tolerate or terminate. Right? Because so many difficulties are there, people may want to terminate the process. This process is not working. But when there is tolerance, accompanied with dependence on Krishna, one need not terminate. One can continue. Same thing happened with Chitraketu also. Chitraketu was cursed to become a demon. By whom? By mother, Parvati. Mother is cursing the child. He became a demon. My dear son, become a demon. So, all for what reason? He just gave one feedback to Shiva. One small feedback. And with all good intentions. He said that you are sitting in the assembly of so many sages and great personalities of the universe with your wife sitting on your lap. Definitely you are glorious. You will not be affected by this behavior. But ordinary people who might see you like this may misunderstand you. This is my concern. So he just expressed his concern. Of course, there is a slight tinge of pride that he felt that I can give a feedback to Shiva also. So that slight tinge of pride was purified by this curse. It's Krishna's arrangement only. So Chitraketu could take this curse in a positive way. He just descended from his airplane and went to Mother Parvati, my dear mother. I never meant to say anything wrong. I didn't mean anything wrong. Because when the husband is insulted, a chaste wife will not feel happy. Chaste wife will be agitated. So, Chitraketu went and clarified to Mother Parvati. My dear mother, I didn't mean anything wrong, but whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong and may I be forgiven for it. I accept your curse and I am going. He left. So, there are so many such great souls who because of their great consciousness, great maturity and wisdom, they turn such miserable situations into an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna and made their own lives glorious, and they set an example for others also to follow. In misery, take misery as mercy of Krishna. That's how Bhagavata begins. Tapatrayon mulanam. Miseries do not exist for a devotee because although they exist, devotee is not affected by it because he sees that misery as mercy of Krishna. And sthane sthita word is also important, Prabhupada writes. Right? Nija dharma bhavite. You may do your own thing, but you can worship the Lord. Dhyane prayasa udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharatam bhavadiya vartaha sthane sthita shrutigatam tanuvan manobhir. You may be situated in your own position, but worship Krishna. Then you can conquer the unconquerable Lord also. So this is the suggestion of Mother Suniti, worship the Lord. Tameva vatsashre bhritya vatsalam. And she is concluding in the last verse, 23rd.
Nanyam tatah padma palashalochanad dukkhachidam te mrigayami kinschanam yo mrigyate hastagrihita padmayam shriyetarairangami mrigyamanayam.
Read the translation.
My dear Dhruva, as far as I am concerned, I do not find anyone who can mitigate your distress but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose eyes are like lotus petals. Many demigods such as Lord Brahma seek the pleasure of the Goddess of Fortune, but the Goddess of Fortune herself, with a lotus flower in her hand, is always ready to render service to the Supreme Lord.
So, she very clearly says, Nanyam tataha padma palashalochana dukkhachidam. Na anyam. There is no one else apart from padma palashalochana, apart from the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has lotus eyes. Dukkhachidam ye mrigayami kinchana. Mrigayami means searching. When I search, control F. Right, you go, Google search or whatever. Your folio says, control F. Only one hit, Krishna. There is distress. Dukkhachidam. Dukkhachidam means someone who can cut your distress. Someone who can destroy your distress. Who can destroy distress? That's what you type. Control F. But only one hit comes, that is Krishna. In her folio. In Suniti's folio. In Suniti's Google. Right? But in our Google, so many things will come. But in her Google, there is only one hit. Dukkhachidam te mrgayami kinchena. Kinchena, there is no one else. Na anyam. Yo mrgyate hasta grihita padmaya shriyetare rangam mrgyamanaya. So that same Supreme Lord, Lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, is sought after by Mother Lakshmi also. Lakshmi does not leave him. Yat sevaya jarana padma pavitra renum sadya hakshatakhyalam alam pratilabdha shilam na shrir virattim abhimam jahati yasya preksha lavartha itare niyaman vahanti. So although so many people worship Mother Lakshmi to fulfill their own desires, but still Lakshmi runs behind Vishnu, Narayana, and although he is not interested in her, giving up her fan following, so she follows Vishnu, although he may not show so much interest in her. So that Vishnu is the only shelter that you have. I don't find anyone else. In all circumstances, approach the Supreme Lord. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udara dhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Dhrumara's example, Dhrumara's episode is another example for this verse. Whether you have desire to attain liberation, whether you have all kinds of desires, or whether you have no material desires, better approach Vishnu, better approach Krishna. The Lord purifies. Even if one approaches the Lord with a material ambition, it is his responsibility to purify that material ambition and give him his own lotus feet, taste for his own lotus feet. This guy may be a foolish person approaching me for something very bigger, but I am not foolish, I am wise, so I will purify his material desires and give him my own lotus feet so that he can enjoy. That's what Krishna's disposition is. Even if Krishna fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him, he fulfills them in such a way that he doesn't relish while getting that material benediction. Just like someone is asking, I want sweet, I want halwa. Right? Okay, I will give you halwa. So before halwa, the person will feed you with 10 chapatis and so much of sabji, some khichdi and all kinds of whatever non-spicy stuff that which are not very exciting food items. He may feed and feed his stomach is completely full. Then he will get a bowl of halwa tea. I am full, I can't eat anything. Like that. Similarly, Krishna, when someone approaches him for material desires, he will fill his heart with spiritual benedictions. Taste for spiritual blessings. Taste for Krishna's lotus feet. That even when he gets a material benediction, he doesn't relish it anymore. And he thinks that, what am I desiring for? This is nonsense, take it, I don't want it. That's how Dhrumara felt after some time in the next chapter. So Krishna will give the material benediction and take away the taste for that material experience, material enjoyment. So thus Krishna will purify. And in secret, he cannot reveal to everybody. Right? Immediately he may reveal, but not, new people may not come. Right? So, next. So Suniti gave such good instructions to Dhruva Maharaj. And apart from this, Suniti's affection for Dhruva Maharaj is also described in the next chapter, 4.9, when Dhruva Maharaj comes back from his austerities. So Suniti practically bathes Dhruva Maharaj with her tears and milk, Rajabhishek for him. So, they mention here for few verses, hardly 10 verses, and there maybe couple of verses. Beyond that, we don't find so much of description about Suniti. But, Dhruva Maharaj, after 36,000 years, when Dhruva Maharaj was going back to Godhead, he was not ready to go. He boarded the Vaikuntha airplane, and he wanted to jump off from that airplane. Why? Because it is my mother Suniti who inspired me to worship Krishna. Without her instruction, I would not have gone to the forest. I would not have met Narada Muni. I would not have received the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I would not have done so many austerities. I would not have attained darshan of the Supreme Lord. And I would not be boarding Vaikuntha airplane now. It's all because of my mother Suniti. How can I go to Vaikuntha without her? So he wanted to jump off from the airplane. Understanding his mood, Sananda and Sunanda, the whatever the drivers are, the Vishnu Parshadas, they told Dhruva Maharaj, look there. Your mother, Suniti, is going to the going back to Godhead in another airplane. Then Dhruva Maharaj, with full satisfaction of heart, he went. Gratitude. When someone guides us in devotional service, we should be grateful to him. Not as a rule or a duty or an obligation. Such a person is giving us the highest benediction. He may not act like a Siksha Guru. He may not be acting like a Diksha Guru. At least he showed you the path. Right? It's the minimum courtesy that we express some gratitude to such a person. So, it's the heart's feeling that one becomes grateful to anyone who through whom we get connected to Krishna. Like that. And definitely she did not, so Surichi, she did not meagerly show the path to Tamilnadu temple. She did not say like that. She really gave good counsel. She really acted like a guru only, like a teacher, like a spiritual master to Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj was grateful to her even after 36,000 years, even while going back to Godhead. So this quality of being grateful to others, grateful to especially devotees who help us in devotional service, is very innate, is supposed to be very innate in the heart of a sadhaka, a practitioner. 24th verse.
Maitreya uvacha evam sanjalpitam matur akarnyartha vamam vachaham sannyam yatmanatmanam nishchakrama pituh purat.
The great sage Maitreya continued, the instruction of Dhruva Maharaj's mother Suniti was actually meant for fulfilling his desired objective. Therefore, after deliberate consideration and with intelligence and fixed determination, he left his father's house.
So, Dhruva Maharaj left home, although he's a small 5-year-old boy, after deliberate consideration. When a small child deliberately considers something, something practical may or may not come out, generally doesn't come out. What can he deliberate? What ability he has to deliberate or consider or evaluate or analyze? But Dhruva is special. Right? He, out of whatever his boyish innocence or whatever, he just took this decision. I should go out, I should worship the Lord, as told by my mother, with fixed determination, with intelligence. So Prabhupada writes, interestingly, mere lamentation is useless. When something undesirable happens, anyone will lament. But that lamentation is not sufficient. One should find out means to mitigate that lamentation. Here both Suniti and Dhruva decided to take shelter of the Lord in this. So there is no other way, there is no remedy that Dhruva could think of, there is no remedy that Suniti could think of. When there is no remedy, there is only one ultimate remedy. And even if you have hundreds of other remedies also, the only remedy is this, taking shelter of Krishna. They got the ultimate remedy. Dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkha matadhyaham. So our Prahlad Maharaj says, Dukkhaushadam, Haushada, the so-called solution to material problems are themselves another problems. Ultimate remedy is tava dasya yogam, to take shelter of your lotus feet, my dear Lord Narasimhadev, and become a servant of yourself. So Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest. And Vrindavan, to the Gaudiya Vaishnava, this forest is forest of Vrindavan. If one takes shelter of Vrindavan under Vrindavanishwari, Srimati Radharani, certainly all the problems of life are easily solved. Okay. Tat sadhumanye asuravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhyam asadgraha hitvatma patam grihamandhakupam vanam gatoya dharimashriyeta. Prahlad Maharaj gives a recommendation to Hiranyakashipu. Go to vana, forest, and worship the Lord. Same thing, Dhruva Maharaj is implementing that suggestion. He also went to forest to worship the Lord.
నారదస్తదుపాకరణ్యం జ్ఞాత్వా తస్య చికీర్షితం స్పృష్ట్వా మూర్ధన్యఘ్నేన పాణినా ప్రాహ విస్మితః.
The great sage Narada overheard this news, and understanding all the activities of Dhruva Maharaj, he was struck with wonder. He approached Dhruva and touching the boy's head with all his all virtuous hand, he spoke as follows.
So Narada Muni suddenly comes into the scene. So far he is not there. Narada Muni is there in every canto. Narada Muni is without Narada Muni's role, no canto is complete. So Narada Muni is Trikalagna. He can understand that somebody is very eager to worship the Lord, some small boy. And ultimately the reason is Krishna. Krishna inspired Narada Muni from within. He go and guide that person. He is going to worship me. He may have material ambition or whatever. He is a small child. He is a little overexcited. He is overreacting to the incident. All this background is fine. But what is there which is good in him? He wants to worship Krishna. So he needs guidance. So Narada Muni goes there. He is Trikalagna. He went there. And the Lord actually reciprocates with the seriousness of a practitioner. Because he is present in everybody's heart, he can understand how serious is this person to take my shelter. Yes, Dhruva is very serious to take shelter of Krishna. Ambition, different. Ambition may be material. But his seriousness, the seriousness with which he wants to take shelter is really glorious, very intense. He is very determined. So, Krishna arranged. So, next. So Dhruva Maharaj actually did not plan to meet Narada Muni. He has seriousness to worship Krishna. He got some inputs from his mother, but he does not have actually a plan. I should take shelter of a guru. I should take some mantra. I should actually understand what is the process, what all things to do, do's and don'ts that I have to follow. He didn't have all these plans. But because he has that eagerness to worship Krishna, Krishna intervened. Krishna arranged Narada Muni in his life. Parikshit Maharaj actually did not have plan to meet Sukadeva Goswami. He retired, he went on the banks of Ganges, he sat there. And he was telling the sages who just assembled there, as if there is an announcement made. They assembled there. So he said, Gayata Vishnu Gatha. You all said, sing the glories of Vishnu. I have one question. Can you answer? What is the question? How to live and how to leave. What is the duty of a person in all circumstances of life, and what is the duty of a person who is especially about to die? That question he asked. Sages could not ascertain actually. Then Sukadeva Goswami entered the scene as if he is invited, and he sat on the Vyasasana and he answered these two questions. How to live in this world and how to leave this world. In essence he said Bhakti Yoga. You should live in this world by practicing Bhakti Yoga. You should leave this world by meditating on Krishna. Right. So when someone is sincere, his sincerity attracts grace. One of the topics also I mentioned in the... If one is sincere, he may not have a very pakka plan to execute. Oh, this is how I am going to do my devotional service. No. He has desire, intense desire. He has sincerity. Then Krishna will do the needful and arranges things in life in such a way that he can advance in devotional service. After that also he has to exhibit his seriousness. But the initial desire and eagerness is very important for us to at least receive a facility to practice devotional service. And once we receive that facility, our advancement further depends on how we utilize that facility. Someone may have very eager, may have a lot of eagerness to come and stay close to the temple or to join the temple. Or to worship the deities, or to study Srimad Bhagavatam, or to join a course or whatever. So, depending on the eagerness, Krishna gives such a person the opportunity for this privilege. And once he receives that privilege, again there is a responsibility to take that privileged opportunity and utilize it wonderfully and become successful.
Right. It's just like depending on your seriousness to enter IIT, you will get a seat. Once you get a seat, after entering IIT also you need to work. You need to get good rank and all. So Dhruva Maharaj has the initial determination and eagerness and seriousness to practice devotional service, and once he received the instruction from Narada Muni, he took them seriously and he practiced also properly for 6 months. And Krishna came. So even Vyasadeva also, when he was despondent, so Narada Muni came. Okay, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was regretting because Dhritarashtra and Vidura and Gandhari just left in 1st Canto 13th chapter. He was lamenting, "Arey, what happened? Because of me only they left. I mistreated them, I killed their sons," all that he was saying. Then Narada Muni, out of his own accord, he came. He came and told them, "Don't lament. Jivo jivasya jivanam. You do your service, let them do their service." And Prachetas, Rudrayuda, correct. Prachetas wanted to worship Lord Vasudeva, suddenly Shiva came. Shiva came on his own accord and then offered whatever guidance he had to offer. So sincerity attracts grace. Four Kumaras. Chitraketu. That Lord already ordained. So like that, Krishna arranges in the life of a devotee the necessary guidance and facility for practicing devotional service, if only he has that eagerness. But it depends on the practitioner to accept that privilege and facility and advance in devotional service. Next. Aho tejaha kshatriyanam manabhangam amrishyatam balopyayam hridadhatte yatsamatur asadvachaham.
How wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas! They cannot tolerate even a slight infringement upon their prestige. Just imagine, this boy is only a small child, yet harsh words from his stepmother proved unbearable to him.
How wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas! He was also wondering, very small boy, his stepmother chastised him. Now we graphically describe what all has happened there, but from one angle you see, the child wanted to get on the father's lap and tell him, "Hey, you go and get up." That's all. The small child is chastised by an elderly woman, right? Whatever may be her attitude, from his child's side, he is a small child, so he need not take it so seriously from one angle. So Narada Muni highlights that angle. "You're a small boy, why are you taking it so seriously? You do not even know the difference between insult and anger. Sometimes the child may be chastised, and after that you give him a sweet, then he'll smile." So the childish innocence is there, right? But Dhruva Maharaj is not accepting that. "Don't consider me innocent, I'm a Kshatriya." Right? Kshatriya cannot be like innocent, although they are 5-year-old. So he says, importance of samskar. If the Brahmanical, Kshatriya or Vaishya culture is maintained in a family, naturally the sons and grandsons will inherit that spirit of the particular class. So why Dhruva Maharaj had such strong Kshatriya spirit even at that age? Because all the samskaras that were performed were proper, right? And all his parents and the family members are also following that kind of a mood. So he could imbibe. Generally, in the olden days, the son of a Kshatriya would generally imbibe the qualities of a Kshatriya. So birth is definitely not a criteria. Quality is the criteria. But in general, someone who has a Brahmanical birth not only has the facility to become a Brahmana, but he also has the necessary training and samskaras and qualities also to become a Brahmana, generally. Some exceptions are always there. But in Kali Yuga, the general thing totally changes. So, next, for Narada Muni is telling Dhruva Maharaj, "Nadhunapyavamanam ting sammanam vabhi putrakam
लक्षयामः कुमारस्य सत्तस्य क्रीडनादिषु नाधुनापि अवमानन्ति.
डियर स्मॉल बॉय ध्रुव, वे आर सो अफेक्टेड बाय दिस अवमानन्ते. दिस अवमान, अवमान मीन्स इंसल्ट. यू शुड नॉट बी सो अफेक्टेड बाय दिस अवमान और अपमान. सो दिस इज 27th वर्स. What is, which is this verse? Number? Okay. So we should not be so affected by this avaman.
Sammanam vapi puttaraka. Because you are a small child, samman also should not have an effect on you. Avaman or samman, insult or honor, both should not have an effect on you. Because you are a small child. Lakshyamaha kumarasya सत्तस्य क्रीडनकादिषु. सो यू आर ए स्मॉल चाइल्ड. कुमारस्य बालस्य अब्सॉर्प्शन इन स्पोर्ट्स एंड गेम्स एंड प्लेइंग शुड बी योर प्रायोरिटी. यू शुड नॉट डिस्क्रिमिनेट बिटवीन ऑनर एंड डिसऑनर सो मच,
राइट?
बट इफ यू आर मैच्योर इनफ टू अंडरस्टैंड द डिफरेंस बिटवीन ऑनर एंड डिसऑनर, you should also be mature enough to understand that they come as a result of your past deeds. He says the next verse like that. Vikalpe vidyamanepi nahya santosha hetavah pumso mohamrite bhinnam yalloke nijakarma bhihim.
My dear Dhruva, if you feel that your sense of honor has been insulted, you still have no cause for dissatisfaction. This kind of dissatisfaction is another feature of the illusory energy. Every living entity is controlled by his previous actions, and therefore there are different varieties of life for enjoying or suffering.
So earlier he said, previous verse he said, you should not worry so much about your honor and dishonor. But if you are mature enough to understand what is honor and what is dishonor, vikalpe vidyamanopi nahi asantosha hetavah, that should not cause any distress to you. Asantosha hetavah means the cause of distress. Why? Because pumso moham mrtya bhinna yal loke nija karma bhihi. People will experience all this only because of nija karma, one's own previous activities. You get honor or dishonor only because of your own deeds, not because of anyone else's. Only in illusion these dualities exist. This vikalpa is there only because of moham. Okay. This is only illusion. There is no honor, there is no dishonor. These dualities don't exist only. If you are mature, you understand this part also. This is clear, no? So understanding the nature of spirit soul, in the Vedas it is said that the living entity is always uncontaminated and unaffected by material association. He gets different types of bodies because of his previous fruitive activities. If however one understands the philosophy that as a living spirit soul, he has an affinity for neither enjoyment nor suffering, then he is considered to be a liberated person. Honor, dishonor, happiness, distress. And Swarga Naraka, hell, heaven. So all these dualities do not have any permanent effect. When Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati, the first thing that he says was, one of the first things, what is that? Naraka Kova. You can see Ratnamala actually. I forgot the beginning of the verse. Kim Sukham Dukham Evava. गुण प्रवाह एतस्मिन् कश्यापाः कुन्वनुग्रहः. गुण प्रवाह, एवरीथिंग इज गुण प्रवाह. प्रवाह मीन्स फ्लो. वी नेम्ड आवर कॉलन इन भागवत प्रदीपिका मैगजीन. देर इज ए सेक्शन ऑन द फ्लो ऑफ भागवत. गुण प्रवाह, दैट इज भागवत प्रवाह. So in this material world, everything is guna pravaha etasmin. Kaha shapaha, kon vanugraha. What is a shapa, curse? What is anugraha, blessing? What is the next line? Kasvargaha narakah kova. What is heaven, what is hell? Kim sukham dukham evava. What is happiness, what is distress? All these are dualities, and none of these dualities will have any permanent effect. They are like guna pravaha. Why guna pravaha is mentioned? Pravaha is mentioned because there is flow. You go and stand in front of a river or a flowing water body. The water is flowing, you see at any point. So if there is a wave that goes down, goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. So the volume of the water that you are seeing at one point will not stay there in the next moment. It goes forward. And the wave that goes up will not stay up forever. It will go down. Similarly, the happiness that you experience in this world will not be permanent. It will become distress soon. Right? Similarly, whatever curse that you are experiencing will not remain curse throughout your eternity. It can become blessing also later. So the dualities will not have any permanent effect in this world. So one should not be unnecessarily worried or bothered about it. Okay? That's what he says in this verse. 28th verse. Nija karma bhihi. They are all results of one's own previous actions. Paritushyeta tastatam. Tavan matrena purushaham. Daivopasaditam yavad. Vikshe swaragatim buddham.
The process of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very wonderful. One who is intelligent should accept that process and be satisfied with whatever comes, favorable or unfavorable, by his supreme will.
So paritushya tadastata, an intelligent person, Buddha, last word is Buddha. An intelligent person should be satisfied. Paritushyet. Tavan matrena purushah daiva upasajitam yavat. Daiva upasajitam. Whatever is ordained and arranged by the Lord, whatever comes by the arrangement of the Lord, one should be satisfied with it. Right? Paritushyet. Whether favorable or unfavorable, just be satisfied. So understanding that it is the Lord's supreme will, Ishvara Gatim. So here Narada Muni is giving some highest teachings of equanimity, tolerance, accepting reversals as one's own previous results of one's own previous activities, and accepting even reversals as Daivopasaditam and Ishvara Gatim as the results of Krishna's grace, right? The great says Narada instructed Dhruva that one should be satisfied in all circumstances. Satisfied, being satisfied in happiness is possible, natural, by default it happens. Being satisfied in reversals and accepting those reversals as gifts of the Lord requires a lot of equanimity, maturity. So one should use one's intelligence to understand things in that light. So hearing this, reading this will definitely inspire us to look at things in such spirit. But when actually the real circumstance is right in front of the face, we have to experience the brunt of it. Immediately one may or may not be able to display this kind of disposition. That requires prayer and practice. So, and regular remembrance of this kind of instructions. So Narada Muni is giving that kind of a solution. Although this solution is glorious and it is highest and it is coming directly from such a great devotee like Narada Muni, Dhruva is not in a position to accept it. Right? So it takes some time for people to come to ideal standards, ideal dispositions. The instructions given by Narada Muni were appreciated by Dhruva after 6 months, not now. After 6 months, when he got the darshan of the Lord, then he understood, hey, Narada Muni wonderfully directed me, and why am I desiring for these material ambitions and all. But at this stage, his enthusiasm and ambition was so high that he could not accept the advice of Narada Muni at all. Similarly, different devotees, practitioners of Bhakti Yoga may accept or may come to ideal standard of devotion after a while. So one needs to, if someone is grossly violating certain principles and behaving in a very erratic way, that's a different thing. But generally, an average practitioner will take a while to come to certain ideal standard, and one should be given that kind of space, and one needs to be accommodative. One needs to accommodate such a person with all encouragement. That's what Narada Muni is doing here. Narada Muni did not reject Dhruva. Are you? I was telling him what is the ideal thing. And this fellow wants position superior to Brahma, my father. Can anyone sit in a position beyond Brahmaji? Isn't it too much? So Narada Muni did not judge Dhruva Maharaj in that light. He just saw one spark. This boy has a determination to practice. Let me fan this spark. He will eventually become a devotee. That Krishna will take care. Let me give him whatever he can do in this situation with whatever mood he may have. Mood may be different, but let me give a method that will work on him. Like that. Atha matropadishtena yogenavarurutsatsim yatprasadam savaipumsam durarādhyomato mamam. Atha matropadishtena yogena varu rutsasi. So whatever your mother has instructed to you is very difficult to understand and undertake. Durarādhyomato mamam. My opinion is, my opinion is durarādhyā. It is extremely difficult to follow the process that your mother has suggested to you. So, because it is very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Lord, it's not an easy thing, and you are going to satisfy the Lord, it's too much. So Prabhupada writes, Bhakti Yoga is simultaneously difficult and easy also. For a sincere person it is easy, for someone who is not determined and sincere it is difficult. Simple. Prabhupada puts things in right words. It is easy, provided you have determination and sincerity. It is difficult if you don't have determination and sincerity. Like that. Munayaha padavim yasyam nissangenoru janmabhim. Okay, one more point is there in the previous purport. This is the process of accepting the disciple. What does it mean? Narada Muni is giving nice principles, but is it Narada Muni's intention to send Dhruva Maharaj back home? He go back to Uttanapada's palace. That may not be his intention. He wants to give him spiritual instruction only. But before instructing him, he wants to test the determination of this disciple. If I tell him that worshipping the Supreme Lord is so difficult, will he give it up? Will he give up his ambition to worship the Lord? Let me test. That's what he is doing. Munayaha padavim yasyam nissangenoru janmabhim navider mrugayam topim tivra yoga samadhinam.
Narada Muni continued, after trying his process for many, many births and remaining unattached to the material contamination, placing themselves continually in trance and exhibiting many types of austerities, many mystic yogis were unable to find the end of the path of God realization.
So, I am telling that this process is difficult, and I have some references for that also. I have some case studies for that also. Munayaha padavim yasya, so many munis and so many great transcendentalists, they have tried this. But they were unable to find the end of this path. They were unable to attain success. So what is the possibility that a 5-year-old child does it? Think before you proceed. He says like that.
Ato nivartatamesha.
Ato nivartatamesha.
Nirbandhastava nishvalaham.
Nirbandhastava nishvalaham.
Yatishyati bhavan kalim.
Yatishyati bhavan kalim.
Shreyasam samupasthite.
Shreyasam samupasthite.
For this reason, my dear boy, you should not endeavor for this. It will not be successful. It is better that you go home. When you are grown up, by the mercy of the Lord, you will get a chance for these mystic performances. At that time, you may execute this function.
So, he is apparently discouraging him. He says, don't do this. When you are grown up, then you can do it. You are just a small boy, you should go and play now. Go home, be with the mother. And when you are grown up, you can come back. So generally, a thoroughly trained person takes to spiritual perfection at the end of life. He goes progressively to take sannyas. But bhakti can be initiated at any point of life. You need not wait till you are grown up. Prabhupada says, kaumaram acharet prajna. So at any point of life, if only one has little eagerness and interest, he can start bhakti. So generally people may think that childhood is meant for enjoying life by sports and play, and youth is meant to enjoy in a different way, and old age is meant for bhakti. Not necessarily. And Guru here is testing the, and this is not the recommendation by Narada Muni. We need to see the context. He cannot take this verse out of context and then place it somewhere else. And the Narada Muni's recommendation is one should practice bhakti after certain age. Bhakti is not meant for children. So we cannot derive that kind of lesson taking this verse out of context. Because Narada Muni's disciple, Prahlad says, Kaumaram acharet prajna. Right? How can a disciple say something against what Guru says? So here he is testing Dhruva, another boy.
Yasya yaddaiva vihitam satena sukha dukha yoha आत्मानं तोषयन् देहि तमसः पारमृच्छति यस्य यद्दैव विहितं स तेन सुखदुःखयोः. दैव विहितं मीन्स् वाट् एवर् कम्स् बै द सुप्रीम् विल् आफ् द लार्ड्. यस्य यद्दैव विहितं बै द विल् आफ् द सुप्रीम् लार्ड् स तेन सुखदुःखयोः. वाट् एवर् हेपिनेस् आर् डिस्ट्रेस् यू मे रिसीव् इन् युर् लैफ् सो वन् शुड् endure it. Atmanam toshayan dehi tamasah paramrichati. If you endure endure any condition of life, whether it is happiness or distress that is arranged by the Lord, then tamasah paramrichati, one can cross over this ignorance, material existence, which is filled of darkness. To cross over the material existence, one should have the ability to tolerate reversals and withstand both happiness and distress. Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukhadukhadaha agama apayina anityaha tam titikshasva bharata. So they come and they go. So one has to be very tolerant. So matra sparshastu kaunteya sita ushna sukhadukhadaha. Sita and ushna we generally tolerate. When there is Ushna, there is AC or fan. When there is Sita, there is shawl or sweater. So that Sukha and Dukha, just like we prepare our body to tolerate this heat and cold, we need to prepare our mind also to tolerate happiness and distress. One should not be so elated and jubilant and excited, overexcited when there is happiness. One should not become so depressed when there is distress. So that's what is the recommendation here and in Bhagavad Gita also. Yam hinam vyathayante te purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dheeram so amrutatvaya kalpate. So samadukha sukham dheeram. Dheera, a sober person, is one who maintains equanimity both in happiness and distress. Such a person is entitled for liberation. Amrutatvaya kalpate. So Narada Muni is giving that kind of teaching here.
This particular section that is there from understand, in the light of the spiritual master instructing disciple into first discouraging techniques.
Hare Krishna. So if you can help us this section 24 to 34, that how the spiritual master is actually instructing the disciple, and what all, firstly he is actually discouraging to actually go towards the forest. So if you can help us that how does the spiritual master play a very important role in actually instructing the disciple in this.
Prabhupada very clearly explains in all these purports, some of these purports, that it's not Naradamuni's intention to send Dhruva Maharaj back home, we already discussed. Naradamuni is testing the determination of Dhruva Maharaj before accepting him as a disciple and giving him further instruction. So, a spiritual master tests, this comes in which purport? See, 32nd purport. The great sage Narada is instructing Dhruva just to test him. Duty of the spiritual master to test the disciple and to see how seriously he desires to execute devotional service. So Prabhupada writes like this. And 30th purport also Prabhupada writes. Sri Narada Muni, the supreme spiritual master, is testing Dhruva to see how determined he is to prosecute devotional service. So basically, with great excitement and enthusiasm, Dhruva Maharaj must have left home. I want to worship the Lord, I want to worship the Lord. And definitely ambition is kept aside. But is he really ready? If I tell him that so many people tried and failed, and if I tell him that a young boy cannot do it, if I tell him you come when you are grown up and then execute this devotional service, will he be shaken up? Will his faith be shaken up? Will his enthusiasm be will slacken? So before instructing him, Narada Muni is actually testing him. So these verses are contextual and they are supposed to be we need to understand them as testing statements, just like Sukadeva Goswami tested Parikshit Maharaj. So after the description of hellish planets, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. My dear Sukadeva Goswami, how can the humanity be protected from entering hellish planets? Immediately Sukadeva Goswami said, you enter hellish planets if you commit sin. And if you commit atonement for your sinful activities, then you need not enter hellish planets. If your sin is small, you can perform a small atonement. If your sin is big, perform a big atonement. So, and atonement has to be performed before time. Don't delay so much, otherwise the reaction will increase. If you atone at the right time, to the right quantity, you will not incur the sinful reaction, you need not enter hell. So Parikshit Maharaj says, I am not impressed with this answer. He says, prayaschittam atho prartham manye kunjara sauchavat. This kocham nivartate bhadrat kochit charati tat punaha. Sometimes if you perform atonement, one may be protected from that sinful reaction if the process of atonement is very effective, and if he also performs it very meticulously, he may be protected. But that doesn't mean he will not commit any further sin. Kochin nivartate abhadrat, he may sometimes restrain himself from committing a sinful activity. Kochit charati tat punaha, sometimes he may again enter into committing that sinful activity. So I don't see this prayaschitta is very effective. Prayaschittam atho apartham, it is useless, it is meaningless. How meaningless it is? Manya kunjara sauchavat. It is as meaningless as an elephant taking bath. Elephant takes bath nicely in a water reservoir, he comes out of the reservoir and then puts dirt on him. So what is the use of taking a bath? So when Parikshit Maharaj just countered the statement of Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami did not feel offended. Hey, my disciple, and he is offending me. He is not accepting my instruction. I said something, I gave some teaching, and then he is giving a counter teaching to me. He did not feel like it. He is very happy. But again he wanted to test. Because Sukadeva Goswami just wanted to test Parikshit Maharaj's understanding.
If I give him a substandard solution, will he take it? Then again he gave another solution, Jnana Kanda. Because you commit sin because of ignorance, and if you are enlightened with knowledge, if you cultivate Jnana and if you follow various limbs of Jnana, then you need not enter hell. So Parikshit Maharaj did not say anything, but his expressions were sufficient for Sukadeva Goswami to understand that my disciple did not get impressed with my answer. What is the analogy there? Venu Gulmam Ivanala. Just like this bamboo trees may be burned to ashes. Similarly, knowledge will burn your ignorance to ashes, burn your sinful reactions to ashes. However, when there are favorable circumstances, the bamboo tree may again sprout because the roots are still there. Whatever is visible above the ground level is burned to ashes. But the roots are inside, again, Venu Gulmam Ivanala, again, they will sprout. Similarly, with knowledge, you may restrain yourself from committing a sinful activity, but when there are some favorable circumstances to commit a sin, then one may not be able to control the urge to commit sin despite having some knowledge. Then he finally gives his answer, Niharamiva Bhaskara, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya, Vasudeva Parayana. He gives Bhakti as solution. So in that context also Sukadeva Goswami tested his disciple Parikshit Maharaj before giving him the answer. Same thing Narayana is also doing, testing.
So that means that if he had resisted and he had tolerated his stepmother's insult, that is even lesser than actually the Lord.
Now you see, in these verses from 24 to 34, not all are meant for testing. Right? In one sense, the whole section is meant for testing only, but while testing, he spoke of some very important principles also. You can take this verse, what is this verse? Don't be affected by honor and dishonor. That you can take out of context and then quote. You can take out of context means, in general also that principle is wonderful.
Dilute the fact that he is going after the Lord, which is higher than just tolerating only.
Now I got the point. So, as a part of taking shelter of the Lord, you tolerate also.
Yes.
They are not actually different. These are the glorious qualities of tolerance and equanimity that a devotee exhibits.
Yes.
When he becomes a devotee of Krishna. Right. But mere tolerance without devotion is certainly, that is obviously understandable. Merely tolerating dualities without any devotional service to Krishna, it's not so exciting. But some of the verses, Gunadhikam Vadam Lipsada, especially the next 34th verse and 33rd verse, one who endures in any condition of life can cross over the darkness of ignorance. That is perfect. So some perfect principles, generic principles are used in this context when Narada Muni is testing Dhruva. But we cannot downplay some of these instructions just because they are said just to test him. One need not endure. Getting right? Some important principles are also there. They are valid in different circumstances of life. And at the same time, those are used to test Dhruva also. Is this clear? So next 32nd verse. Good that you brought out that point, Prabhu. We could discuss that. 34th verse. Gunadhikanvadam lipset. Anukrosham gunadhamat. Maitrim samanadan vichhen. Natapairamibhoyate. Gunadhikam mudam lipset. Another important principle he gives. It cannot be downplayed or ignored as a mere testing statement. It is a general principle which is valid
which everyone has to be, has to imbibe also. That is guna adhikam mudam lipset. Guna adhikam, if someone has more qualities than you, he is more qualified than you, mudam lipset, please be happy, rejoice to meet such a person. Don't envy such a person. Generally people may envy a person who is more qualified. He has more qualification than me, so that envy should not come. One should be happy. Finally, I found someone who knows more than me. I can learn from him what I don't know. Anukrosham gunadhamat. Guna adhamat means when you meet someone who may have lesser qualities, anukrosham, feel compassion for him and try to tell him what is good, what is bad, try to lift him. Don't feel contempt or disrespect towards him. Someone is less qualified, one may tend to disrespect. No disrespect, be compassionate. Third, maitrim samanat anvichyam. When you find someone who is equally qualified like you, samanat, maitri, please make friendship with him. Don't be competitive with him. Don't compete with him. So, natapair abhibhuyati. So, if your dealings with other people are centered around these three principles, there are no threefold miseries only. So, miseries will come by disrespecting people, by envying people, by competing with people. But if you dovetail your meeting with less qualified, more qualified and equally qualified people in the way mentioned in this verse, that is wonderful. Okay. So, that brings happiness during one's stay in this world. So, that is Narada Muni's teachings at this stage. First set of teachings. So, Dhruva Maharaj's response, let's see. Dhruva Uvacha. Soyam Shamo Bhagavata. Sukha Dukha Hapatmanam. Darshitaha Kripaya Pumsam. Durdarshosmad Virhaistuyaham.
Dhruva Maharaj said, my dear Lord Naradji, for a person whose heart is disturbed by the material condition of happiness and distress, whatever you have so kindly explained for attainment of peace of mind is certainly a very good instruction. But as far as I am concerned, I am covered by ignorance, and this kind of philosophy does not touch my heart.
Soyam shamo bhagavata sukadukkha hatatmanam. So, I appreciate your instructions, but I cannot follow your instructions because I am a different brand. I am Kshatriya brand. So, for someone who has Brahmana brand, they can follow. So, different people can appreciate different instructions. Some are universal instructions that everyone has to follow. But even those universal instructions also someone will be able to follow only at certain stage. So at this stage Dhruva Maharaj prioritizes fulfilling his ambition than imbibing certain sadhu qualities like this. That is the essential instruction from Dhruva's life. Even if one has many material desires to fulfill, still he should take to Krishna consciousness and worship Krishna only. Despite all this background, Dhruva Maharaj is approaching the Lord with a very tormenting background, with a despondent background and with material ambition. Still, he is glorious because he approached Krishna. That part is glorious. So that is being acknowledged here. Through this narration, it will become very clear that no one is barred from worshipping the Lord even if one has many material desires. Athapi me vinitasyam kshatram ghoram upeyushaham srutya durvacho banair nabhinne shrayate hridayam.
My dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault. It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. My stepmother Suruchi has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instruction does not stand in my heart.
He understands that it's a valuable instruction. But he acknowledges his own current condition that cannot contain it. I understand you are giving me gold, but I don't have a bag to carry it. Right? I understand you are feeding me rabdi, but my digestive system cannot digest it. Right? I have weak digestive system. So give me something that I can digest, khichdi. If you give me khichdi, I can easily digest it. Don't feed me. If you give me simple milk, I can digest it. If you feed me rabdi and thick condensed sweet rice, I cannot handle it. That's what he says. So, sometimes harsh speech has an everlasting effect. Not in front of, not in the case of everybody. Some people, whatever you say, like this, they are in their own world. You don't have any effect on them. But some people will take it very seriously. My God, they are like piercing my heart. So, it is said that the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot once broken, cannot be repaired by any means. So Dhruvamara's heart was broken, that nothing seemed valuable but his desire to counteract her insult. Yes, and this also may not be applicable universally, because Avanti Brahman was ridiculed by so many people. Once he has taken shelter of Krishna, that did not have any effect on him. And Dhruvamara also, after 6 months, this harsh speech of Suriji did not have any effect on him. Now he is so eager to fulfill his material ambition. But after 6 months, he is normal. He felt that, why did I feel like that? That's this, like that. So, depends. It is the process of devotional service and bhakti that makes one look at things in a more mature spirit. Right? So, the chain Dhruva is trained as per his tendency because he has the Kshatriya spirit. At this point, he is feeling to take a kind of a revenge, fulfilling his material ambition, like that. So, the Brahmanical instructions that Kshatriya gave were incompatible with the Kshatriya spirit of Dhruva. Brahmanical instructions that Narada Muni gave were not compatible with the Kshatriya spirit of Dhruva. So Prabhupada writes, in America also we have practical experience of this incompatibility of the Brahmanical and Kshatriya temperaments. Okay. So Dhruvamara says, let the weak, cowardly Brahmanas drink the nectar of your instruction on peacefulness. Since I am Kshatriya prince with fierce bravery, I cannot even glance on your instruction. This is Dhruvamara's attitude at this point, at least. So one may be offered the highest, and he may even acknowledge that it is highest, but he may not be in a position to accept it. And certainly what Dhruva has done was not inappropriate. He was honest. So, honestly expressing one's inability to perform or follow an instruction is not wrong. But diplomatically maneuvering your superior to make him say what you want to hear is not correct. Right? Just honestly express, this is what is going on. So, I won't, at this condition, at this situation, I may not be able to do this. So, that is fine what Dhruvamara is doing it now. So, Dhruvamara at this point, he wanted to occupy the highest exalted position. Let's see, 37th verse. Padam tribhuvanotkrishtam jigishoha sadhu vartmameen. Bruhyasmat pitrabhir brahman anyair apyanadhishtitam. Class is still open. 12:31. 12:30? Okay. We'll end after one verse. Hmm? Yeah. Read the translation. Yes, 37th translation.
O Lord Brahmana, I want to occupy a position more exalted than any yet achieved within the three worlds by anyone, even by my fathers and grandfathers. If you feel all obliged, kindly advise me of an honest path to follow by which I can achieve the goal of my life.
Hmm. padam tribhuvanotkrishtam. I want a pada position which is tribhuvana utkrishtam, the best position that is available in all the three planetary systems. Who is saying this? A 5-year-old boy. And I want a higher position, and no one must have occupied that position ever. I mean, I have to create it. There is only one topmost position. It is always only one topmost position. In that position already Brahmaji is sitting. So he is saying, don't give me Brahma's post also. Create some post which is superior to Brahma and put me there. Right? So, padam tribhuvanotkrishtam jigishoha sadhuvatmame. And I don't want such a position by hook or crook. By honest means. Honestly, you tell me the process, I will sincerely follow whatever is the process and I will attain it. And I am sure you must be knowing the answer. Bruhi asmat pitrubhir brahman. Asmat pitrubhir, my father would not have been sitting in that position. Brahma, even Brahma also should not be sitting in that position. I want a position superior to even Brahmaji also. Anyairapi, anyone else, anadhishtitam. Adhishtitam means sitting, occupying that post. Anadhishtitam means no one has ever occupied that post at all. That has to be created only. There is a post, someone will occupy that. If no one has occupied it ever, that post has to be created. So I want a new post, superior to Brahma. Like that.
That comparing Dhruva versus Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu also wanted something big, Dhruva also wanted something big, but here the intent was very childishly clear that he was going against that hurt, whereas he was going to enjoy himself and destroy others.
Enjoy himself, it's a very demoniac intent.
Demoniac intent, and hence this was not affecting him as a greed, it was not pure greed.
Hiranyakashipu's desire and Prahlad Maharaj's desire.
Dhruva's
desire. Both are material.
Material.
Flavor may be different, but both are material only. But Hiranyakashipu approached a demigod.
Yeah, that is.
And Dhruva approached
Lord.
But
so even intent was usually
intent is material in both cases.
Usually different.
How material it is, that may be little different. They are little childishly material, and that is like demoniacally material. But whatever, both are material.
Material, yeah.
Both are material ambitions. So, but here it is, they are so determined. So, Dhruva wanted to occupy by honest means. He may desire material gain, but he accepts it only if Krishna offers it. Okay, next. So, when there is determination accompanied by devotion, then grace will descend. No, we'll see more examples post lunch. 38th verse. Nunam bhavan bhagavato yonga jahapara meshthinaham vitudan atvate veenam hitaya jagator kavat. So Naradamuni, Dhruva says, Naradamuni, oh my dear Lord, you are a worthy son of Brahma, and you travel playing your musical instrument, the veena, for the welfare of the entire universe. You are like the sun which rotates in the universe for the benefit of all living beings. So he understood the position of Narada Muni also. So Narada Muni is not an ordinary person. It's not that I want to post superior to Brahmaji and then he will go to some panwala outside. Not like that. He is going to Narada Muni and he understands the glory of Narada Muni, who can actually show a means to fulfill that. So when we want something, we should approach a right person who has the ability to guide us in getting that. So devotee is merciful like the sun, and he also compares him like sun. Tamarka, that's another verse where Narada Muni is compared to super soul. Narada Muni is compared to sun also, air also, who can be all-pervading and understand the intentions of everyone. That comparison comes when Narada Muni meets Vyasadeva, correct? Okay. So Dhruva Maharaj felt fully assured that Narada Muni could fulfill his desire. Thank you all very much. Kritha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.